This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
One would be, if you, generally people would be tempted by this, generally, not always, during the nighttime hours, right? When they're alone, when they're maybe weak, right? And if you look at the Prophet ﷺ's nighttime routine, it will shock you, right? It will shock you. The Prophet ﷺ generally would not speak after Isha prayer. He wouldn't like engage in conversation after Isha prayer. In fact, he would very frequently go to bed right after Isha, go to sleep right away, right? The wisdom behind that is like he wants that, like when you're emotionally and physically tired, just go to sleep and recharge. And he would, as a habit, wake up for tahajjud. Okay, that's an interesting thing. That I don't. It's not like a. You know, this is not something that our religion mandates us that we do this. Of course not, right? But it's interesting to see him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making this like the rule for himself, that he would, like, not have conversation outside of, you know, like talking to his wife or whatnot, right? With people outside, he wouldn't indulge them after Isha. He would sit with them before Isha. He would sit with them after Fajr. He would sit with them after whatever prayer. But after Isha is his own time, and he goes and rests. And that's really interesting. Like you set up that just it's a time. If I guess if you want to make an analogy here, maybe after Isha is a time you don't watch any TV. You don't watch any entertainment. You just cut it out. It's like no. It may be hard if you're an NBA fan and you're watching like the Warriors at like 11 p.m. or something. You're like, I gotta watch this team, right? It may be hard, but if you were to, you know, do that, that would be super helpful, in my opinion, especially for someone struggling with this. Another thing is to look at the Prophet ﷺ, and you look at his nighttime routine specifically before he would go to sleep, as to what he would read from the Quran and the Adhkar, right? Adhkar always have to be read with some sort of understanding. If you're just reading them, you know, just like rote repetition, you get the ajr, mashallah, you get the blessing, but that's the letter of the law, the spirit you've missed, right? The spirit of it is actually understanding what that is, what you're asking for, okay? That's when the true blessings come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So understanding what you're reading of the adhkar and then reading them, if you look at just Hisnul Muslim, Fortress of the Muslim, very aptly named, like, because du'as are like our fortress. They are like the protective shield that we have against the onslaught of the devil. You look at that, there are 11 du'as that are mentioned that the Prophet would read before he would go to sleep. Okay? 11 du'as. Some of them small, like Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, right? Allahu Akbar 33 or 34 times. Very simple, right? But others are sometimes a little long, sometimes very short. But there's 11 of them. Then you look at the Prophet ﷺ would read Ayatul Kursi. And he would read the last three surahs of the Quran. Qul huwallahu ahad, qul a'udhu birabbil falaq, qul a'udhu birabbin nas. And he would read each of them three times. In fact, he would blow in his hand and then he would, you know, rub his hands all over his body, right? As a means of actually turning the words that we seek protection by into like physically like protecting yourself. This was something he would do. Then he would advise that before you go to sleep, you read the last two ayat of Surah Baqarah, okay? That's about a half a page of the Quran. Then he would advise also you read Surah Kafirun. That's another surah that you add to that. He would advise also read Surah Mulk. That's about 2.5 pages. Then he would also advise read Surah Sajda, Surah number 32, right? That's another 3 pages. You add all of that, that's almost 7 pages of the Quran that you're reading. 10 pages is half a juz, by the way. Okay? So that's a significant amount of Quran. If you're reading that much and you're reading all those 11 du'as, you've spent a good number of minutes really getting ready to go to sleep. The chances of now you being tripped up by shaitan are much lower than if you were weak and browsing and scrolling, right? Way more vulnerable then than you are now, right? So this is a beautiful thing. It's right there. You can just Google Fortress of the Muslim. It's right there. It's all for free, right? And you can read that as well, inshallah. Last thing I'd say, number three, is with regards to our company that we keep. As you mentioned, having friends that are good friends, etc. That's very, very critical. If your company, if the people you hang out with, they, for them, pornography is like having a cup of coffee in the morning. Okay, you don't want to be hanging out with people like that. That you don't want to do that to your soul. Okay, you need to have some relationship with the masjid. Okay, this is critical, right? This is for both our brothers and sisters. Sisters, don't think like it's like not allowed for you to be in the masjid. It is just as virtuous for you to be in the masjid as it is for a man. Those ahadith about the women praying at home have a specific understanding. The understanding is that there are situations where a woman is not able to come to the masjid. Like my wife cannot go for Aisha because she has four kids screaming for her at night, asking her to put them to sleep. And if I volunteered, they were like, no, we don't want you. We want mom, right? So there are circumstances that make it very difficult for women. So for her to feel like I'm missing out on the ajr of the masjid, the Prophet has assured us she will not miss out on the ajr, right? Even when she's praying at home. That's like the context of those hadith. The sahabiyat of the Prophet would pray Fajr and Isha in the masjid. They would be there regularly, right? So don't think that this is only for men. It applies equally to both. But have that relationship. A simple relationship is going to the masjid for Isha, right? Going to the masjid for Isha. If this is your habit, it breaks so many bad habits. It breaks the habit of being just mindlessly entertained at night. You break the habit, turn off the TV, get up and go to the masjid. Okay? And it's refreshing. And you meet people. And there is blessings going and coming back. Itself, it's not a protection. A person might do that and then end up watching pornography, right? That's totally possible, right? But you put all these together. You make this a routine. You make your sleeping habit like the Prophet. You start to cut out stuff at night when you're vulnerable, right? Maybe you turn off your phone and put it away, right? Now you're talking. Now you're protected.
Yeah, no, mashallah, that's a beautiful reminder, right? I mean,